This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
2 seconds and one. Game two to the Knickerbockers. And we've got an even series in this first round matchup.
I love this game.
They had to win game two. We said it was a must-win situation.
We're going to make runs. Got to keep fighting.
I knew the second half would be a great fight, and there was.
Julius Randle, left wing for three. Nails it. And boy, did he need that.
Who we are as a team, we're never going to doubt whether we can win a game or not.
This is DCR.
New York, we're here.
On 98.7.
I want to hear it after every Knicks win. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. It's a great day. I mean, the Knicks with a tremendous win at home last night. The Islanders for Rick with a tremendous win at home last night. The Islanders move on. The Knicks even the series. Fans are very excited and passionate. Let's go. 800-919-3776. You couldn't be in a better mood today, right, Rick?
Couldn't be in a better mood. Could not be in a better mood. Took like a 15-minute break.
Listen, you were sleepless. You needed a few minutes to gather yourself, and I think you did for Did It Happen in Florida and observations. And now we have a big 7 o'clock hour. John Stark's going to join us at 7:35 this morning, so this is going to be a big hour for us.
Yeah, it's a huge hour. I mean, it's a big day. It's a big day. Both teams win. It was almost like I'm watching the K show. And Don makes the announcement that the game gets postponed. The first thing I thought of.
I was so happy.
No, but the first thing was like Crash Davis. You guys want a rainout?
Yep.
I'll give you a rainout. It's like, so fellas, the Knicks are playing tonight. It looks like there could be some rain. What do you guys think? Let's shut it down. We'll play the doubleheader.
Yeah, rain. Please rain. Now we got doubleheaders all over the place today. The Mets
full day of baseball.
Food. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, you love it. I mean, if I'm a Yankees fan, too, I'm a little... I mean, there was also a little bit of bad news yesterday, too.
Very bad.
A little bit?
Not a little bit of bad news.
Not
trying to be
a
nice.
Little bit. That's a lot of bad news. Nice.
Awful news for the Yankees. I mean, Kluber is going to be shut down for at least the next 2 months, and God knows how long Voit's going to be out for the Yankees.
Yeah, Dave, and those are two big pieces, right? Kluber is supposed to be a frontline guy. We saw him throw the no-hitter last week. We're like, man, if this guy can pitch up to that level... Then you're talking about the Yankees being in a really good spot because not only are you getting production from your bullpen, but your starting pitching is being able to hold you down. I think they went something like 37 scoreless innings from starting pitching.
They did.
I mean, the fact is now you're going to be missing a big part of that rotation, and you're going to be asking one of the young guys, whether it's Michael King or Davey Garcia, to step in, and those guys still have a lot of show and prove. So I just feel like the Yankees were finally starting to climb out of this nosedive that we started the season with. And now we get hit with this news, and then on top of that, you got Luke Voit with the strained oblique, and now him going to be out for an extended period of time. It's not good news at all. It's just when you think that things are stabilized, now you get thrown a monkey wrench.
Well, no, I mean here's the one, Kay kind of alluded to this yesterday. Is at some point during the season with Tyone, with Herman, and with Kluber, they were going to need. Either you started skipping their starts or whatever, they're going to have to control their innings, right? So, I mean, if Kluber does come back at some point and he's healthy, like, you're going to need him, obviously, down the stretch, but it gives an opportunity for, like, a guy like Davey Garcia to step in now and hopefully pitch well and prove that, he's a guy you can rely on.
Well, Rico, let me ask you this. With Kluber being out a couple of months, doesn't that put more on Tyone and more on Herman?
Yes.
Doesn't that give you less flexibility in terms of being able to rest those guys in certain spots during the summer?
Well, no, naturally it does. But, I mean, you're going to rely on everybody. It was going to be all hands on deck anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Davey Garcia is going to have to step up. Like, Michael King would have to step up. Like, there's too many innings to cover. That's going to be the story this year. You have so many innings to cover, and you played 60 games last year. And the Yankees are unique because they got three pitchers that haven't, three guys in their rotation that haven't pitched.
Didn't pitch at all last year.
Yeah.
One inning.
Right.
For three guys.
It is pretty remarkable. So now, Kluber, listen, long term, could this be a benefit that when you get to the postseason, he doesn't have a lot of mileage on that arm? Sure. But now you're not going to have him for, I mean, he's shut down for 4 weeks before he can throw, and then maybe another 4 weeks
at least
to get
2 months.
Himself back into. Right. So you're looking at August for this guy.
Yeah.
At a minimum.
Yeah, it's not what you want, Dave. But I guess the thing that scares me the most about this situation is, how does it not only affect your starting rotation, but how does it affect your bullpen too? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you just can't be in a spot where you're asking the bullpen to give you a bunch of outs, you know, because you're missing Corey Kluber out of your rotation. Like, that was one of the stories that we had coming into this season. Like, the Yankees got to make sure that that bullpen has enough gas in it so when we get to October, when the games are the most important, like, they're ready to perform. That bullpen is the best in baseball. Like, you'd hate for them to not be effective when it matters the most.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But, I mean, that's always, with the Yankees over the last couple of years, that's always been part of the conversation, is trying not to wear your bullpen.
Yep, that is the conversation. 800-919-3776. People just want to talk to us, and we're a show of the people, so let's do it. Let's go to Daryl in the car. Good morning, Daryl. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Man, I want. It was a great game last night, man. Rose, boy, was he good, man. He pretty much brought us over the hump, man. I just need to see more from Randall. Like, I'm watching the game last night, and he's just sloppy, man. And, yeah, he pulled it through later on, but I need more from him. And I don't know what the numbers were for Barrett. I need more from Barrett. Rose can't do it all night. And I felt at times last night, guys, I don't know if you guys watched, well, I know you're watching, but I felt like Rose, the minutes were getting to him at a certain point. The shots were looking short. And like I said, the benefit of us last night, and we got the win, great win. But we need more from the big boys if we're going to pull over the top. We're going to Atlanta, we need them. And on the second note, Rick, I'm glad you're back, man. You the man. We miss you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. See? This is all Dave's fault.
You want to be wanted, right, Rico?
No,
you're like Aaron Rodgers.
No,
you want to make sure you're wanted.
That prima donna.
That everybody in the organization understands that the people make this thing go.
No, sometimes it's a lonely place to be. Like, I want to be excited about the Islanders, but I don't have not enough people calling in for the Islanders. Like, all Islander fans are like, oh, you don't talk Islanders. And then when we finally get around to talking Islanders, you think the phones would be lit up with Islanders calls, and there's not. I got to talk to a disgusting Ranger fan who's just...
So I shouldn't have brought him up there. I brought him up for you. I didn't bring him up for me.
Yeah, but you brought him up just because you're trying to appease me. Like, there's no real interest. I see your face through the Zoom. Like, there's no real interest.
Well, Rico, you could talk about the Islanders in an effort to try to woo me back over to that side. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of pushback. Yeah, here's the thing, Canty. You know I love you, but I'm getting a lot of pushback from the Islander community. They feel like you
really?
Quit on the team, and now all of a sudden you're
what
trying
do you
to
feel
get
like
back.
He quit on the team. He did quit on the team.
No, he did. No, I'm just trying to be nice. Again, the way I worded it, I was trying to be nice. But there's a lot of resentment right now.
So what they're saying is I can't jump back on the bandwagon. I can't become an Islanders fan again.
In
that
the
door
moment,
is closed to me.
Yeah, they like in the you. Moment, I especially because yesterday, too, you're like, oh, you're ridiculous, Rick. You should pick the Knicks win. They're like, whoa, what do you mean pick the Knicks win? Like, how about the Islanders win?
The Islanders community. I love it. Let's go. You want an Islanders call? Let's go to Devin in Yorktown. Good morning, Devin. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up again, boys?
What's going on, my man? What's
second
up?
Second time in a quick time. Rick, so glad you're back on the show. Canty, forgot to thank you for the Super Bowl ring. Go Giants. So, Rick, talk Islanders for me. I want to hear about this great save that we were talking about earlier. Can you wax poetic on this for a little
See,
bit for me?
This
and
is what I'm talking about.
No,
Dave,
please, go ahead. I'm going to go clean up dog vomit. You discuss it. At
what happens, Devin, and I'm glad you asked me this question, Devin, is you get into one
welcome.
Of these closeout games, and you're just going back and forth. At a certain point, you like to seize the momentum. And there are times in games, game-changing
well,
plays, turning
momentum,
point
Rick?
Moments. If, God forbid, Sorokin lets in that breakaway, and now you're looking at a one-goal game, could be completely different. But you know what happens, Devin, is in that moment, Ilya Sorokin steps up and makes a big save. Islanders close it out. Bring on Boston. Get this job done. Yeah, bring on Boston. I don't even care.
Give me all of it. Sure. No game seven? No,
we
game
don't need
seven,
a game
right?
seven. Why even mess with that? I don't want to go back to Pittsburgh.
No, it's going to be one game six, right? From yesterday,
yes.
We won game six. We got what we wanted.
Come on. See the Islanders go play a game
we
seven.
We
rest
wanted.
Up. Just get your rest.
So this is what you need. You just need someone that's going to say things that they agree with you. That's what you want, right?
No, I don't want agreement. I like someone that likes you want to talk about things you like with people that like the same kind of stuff.
So because I'm not a fan of the Islanders, I can't lead you to discuss them, is what you're saying.
Oh, I mean, leading someone to talk to someone or just being like, okay, Islanders, go. And then as you're talking, let's throw in a sound. Let's hear some sound.
So you didn't sense the genuine interest from Dave about the Islanders' big win last night?
It was like being a guest on a show. Hey, Rick, glad to have you on the show.
RJ is apoplectic right now.
Islanders, go.
RJ is apoplectic. He says, what's wrong with the sound? It was good sound.
It was good. It's just the moment when you chose to go to the sound. Like, you can't wait. You just couldn't wait.
I couldn't wait.
Let's get right to
hear what Barry Trotz, my friend Barry Trotz, had to say.
He doesn't even like you, Barry Trotz. He
loves me.
He hates you.
I had a one-on-one sit-down with him last summer.
Yeah, because they paid him.
They didn't pay him anything. He did it because he loves me.
Andy from Merrick paid him. You know this. We all know it.
Speaking of Andy from Merrick, good morning, Andy from Merrick. Andy, you would agree that Rick is acting like a tremendous baby this morning, right?
Hang on, David. First of all, good morning, DCR.
That felt forced.
David, Rick is suffering from post-Penguin partum depression. He is upset that Sidney Crosby has to go home and think about this offseason now. Lay off my guy, Ricky. Okay?
Thank you, Andy. And you know, now, Andy, we know he didn't want to talk about the Islanders.
You're a big fraud too, Andy, by the way. Big fraud. There's no way we're going to beat Pittsburgh. We can't compete with Pittsburgh. They're too good for us. The season's going to be over. Oh, why even bother showing up? Please.
Hey, Dave, do you want to hear the stat of the day yesterday?
No.
I do, Andy.
The 71 on the golf course. That's your stat of the day, Ranger boy.
Ooh. Ranger boy.
Mm. 71,
taking
that's pretty good.
At this guy. 71's really good.
Well, let's not bury the lead there. Good for him. Let's go to Matt in Westchester. Good morning, Matt. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, gentlemen. Absolutely, some of the best part of my day is listening to you guys in the morning. Thank you so much. As you guys probably know already, I called a couple times about the Knicks. Big fan. Been following them for years. Last night's game, you know, I am an extreme, huge, big Tom Thibodeau fan. As you guys probably already know, I called a couple times about him. I do think, though, there's an element of stubbornness now, though, with whether or not to start Rose. I think you got to see where the momentum's coming from, and you have to start Rose now from the get-go. I think we need that type of pickup from the get-go in the game. And this is not a shot on Randall, but I think the momentum, the flow kind of stems from him, and then also that second unit really getting us going when we're down. Thanks, boys.
Matt, I completely agree with that, and I appreciate how Tibbs approaches things and him being so loyal to his players. And because he's been riding with Elfrid Payton in the starting lineup all season long, wanting to give him every opportunity to try to be a part of what they're doing this postseason. My problem is it's clear at this point that he can't be a contributor to your team. And as a matter of fact, he's hurting your team. So at some point, you got to get somebody in there that can help your team, help Julius Randle get going a lot quicker in games. And Derrick Rose is the answer to that. Now, that creates another problem in trying to figure out what happens to that bench unit and making sure that that continues to be a weapon. But I just believe you cross that bridge when you get there. Like, you've seen it in a two-game sample size. Like, Elfrid Payton being in the starting lineup leads to your starters getting off to a slow start offensively. You can't afford for that to happen in game three.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Thibodeau, last night with the Knicks, what turned the game around for you?
Yeah, we just felt we were flat and we needed a jolt of energy. We wanted to change it up and we got going. It started with the defense and then we started sharing the ball and spraying it out and we got some good looks and we made shots.
Yeah, that's always good if you can make shots, which they did in the second half, which they barely did in the first half. And Randall, we talked about it. Guys, he didn't have a field goal in the entire first half last night.
Now, 2 points. 2 points, it wasn't good. No, the starters were bad. Again, I mean, the starters weren't good. Mm-mm. Thank God for Derrick Rose.
Thank God for Derrick Rose. Now, we had a caller earlier today. He said, you know, Rose, it felt like he wore down and his shots weren't good late in the game. I didn't feel like that at all.
No, I didn't see that. And I thought that little one-handed runner that he had in the paint in the fourth quarter was a huge shot. But, I mean, Derrick Rose, the minutes that he played, he was a playmaker on the offensive side for the Knicks. And he was the catalyst for them being able to go on that run at the end of the third quarter and riding that momentum in the fourth quarter. Like, Derrick Rose made it happen for the Knicks. I keep using this term, but it feels like he's the one that's bringing the juice to the offense right now with Julius Randle struggling. I didn't get that Derrick Rose wore down at any point throughout that game.
I didn't feel like that. My concern is that he might as the series goes on, but I didn't feel like he did at all in game two. Earl in Brooklyn, earlier next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, DCR. Hey, Dave, you got to understand there's no DCR without CR, okay? So let's get that. I need Rick and Canty. I like you, but I need those two.
No, right, well, you can have them. The you got them right here. They're on board with the show.
With the Knicks, these guys don't value possessions. Canty, you know about possessions in football. Possessions count. They don't value the basketball, and turnovers is just coming at a handful. Stupid turnovers. So if they can limit that and value that basketball move when the game is on the line, then and it'll be an easy win for this series.
There's not going to be an easy win. There's nothing about this series is going to be an easy win.
No, this is going to be a slog, Dave. This is not going to be an easy win. No, it's not. I mean, you guys called it. You said it was going to be a 7-game series. I said Knicks in 6. I think you guys are probably going to be right. But, I mean, this is going to be hard fought. And credit with Nate McMillan and the Atlanta Hawks, man. They threw a lot of things at this Knicks team. They threw a lot of things at Julius Randle, and he struggled. Like, they threw him off his square a little bit. There were some turnovers that are a little bit uncharacteristic of Julius. But, I mean, you're going to have to live with him adjusting to the learning curve that is playing playoff basketball. But the fact that Derrick Rose is playing the way that he's playing, it's allowing your team to tread water. It's what allowed you to have a split in the first couple of games, and you're hoping that they learn something in the second half of yesterday that they can carry with them throughout the rest of this series.
Rick, let me ask you an honest question, like a serious question. I know you're a Knicks fan. I know you love this team. I know you're excited. You've seen 2 games. They've split. You've seen what Randle has done, how great Derrick Rose has been. If you weren't, maybe you can't do it, but if you weren't a Knicks fan, and I just said to you right now, you'd pick the Knicks in 7, would you like to change that selection? Would you do it?
If I could change the selection, would
yes.
I pick?
I know you want the Knicks to, I'm not going to judge you if you change to Atlanta. Like I want an honest answer from what you've seen, from what you expect, from where this series is going, for Atlanta having home court right now, would you change from Knicks in 7 at the moment?
From what I've seen in the first 2 games, I would be hard pressed to stick with that prediction. I'm going to stick with it. Could take integrity, but I mean, there's some concerns moving forward with the series.
I feel exactly the same way. I mean, I'm going to stick with the Knicks in 7. But if you said to me you have to change off of that, I would take Atlanta in 6. I would.
But here's the big unknown for us, right? Is that part of why you just said what you said is because there's a fear that at some point Derrick Rose playing close to 40 minutes is going to come back to bite us. That's part of the reason. The other one is Julius Randle for the outside of the third quarter, first couple games hasn't been great.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to see is, does that change now because there's less pressure going into Atlanta? Like, will we see more of what we've seen during the regular season with Julius Randle because he's not trying to do too much? Because the first half was another one of those situations where, I mean, it discombobulated, whatever you want to call it, right? He didn't make a bucket.
He was bad.
Didn't make a bucket in the first half. And the starters were, I mean, you look at the starters, Randall's minus 17, Noel's minus 19, RJ Barrett's minus 16. Poor Alfred Payton pays 5 minutes, he's minus 7. I mean, it was, what was crazy too about it was they came out so hard to start the game.
Yeah, they did.
Like, it was aggressive. The defense, like, it was like the place was going crazy.
It's hard for them to score. It's really difficult for them to put the ball into the basket. It's Atlanta. It's so much easier than it is for the Knicks.
Well, they don't really have a true point guard.
They don't.
I mean, Derrick Rose can score, but he's not really necessarily the kind of guy that's going to, organize everything for everybody.
He's not Trae Young in terms of what he does for the Knicks. He's not. Because Trae Young can get his points, but Trae Young makes it so much easier for Bogdanovich and for Hunter and all those other guys for the Atlanta Hawks.
I mean, that lot to Capella. I mean, that's the reality.
Capella's a beast. Chris, you would definitely change yours, Knicks in 6, right?
Yeah, I got to change mine now. I mean, if the Knicks win it, it's not going to be in 6 games. It's going to be a 7-game series. Like, it'd be hard-pressed to be able to go down to Atlanta and win those 2 and then come back and take care of your business. I don't see that happening. It's going to be a 7-game series. I still think the Knicks figure it out, man. I just trust this team, what I've seen from them all year long. Julius Randle, there's no way he can be bad for the rest of the series the way that he has been in the first couple of games. Just no chance of that happening.
Here's the thing, though. But Chris, what you just said, I think is how all Knicks fans feel. I think it's exactly how Atlanta Hawks fans feel right now, too, with what the team looked like once Nate McMillan took it over,
mm-hmm.
how much different it's been. Because remember, with Lloyd Pierce, it was they can score, but their defense is horrendous.
Yes.
And they kind of talked about it last night. Like, the Knicks were, great defense, and the offense and shooting was bad. Then all of a sudden, as the season progressed, it was defense was still great, but all of a sudden the offense came around.
Yep.
It was the opposite with the Hawks, but they, I mean, they're playing much better defense.
And their defense looks good.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good, but I think that's also part of the Knicks' offense isn't great.
Yeah, it's not. They don't have a point guard. Let's go quickly to Anthony in Holbrook. Anthony, you're next up on 98.7.
What's going on, boys? How are we doing today?
Doing fantastic great. Now. We're fantastic. Couldn't be in a better mood.
Anthony.
Yeah, so before I make my next point, Rick, I just want to be brutally honest. I'm a diehard Rangers fan. Ugh. I despise you with the passion. Like, I hate you forever as a hockey player. As a person, you're like one of the coolest people I think I've ever heard. You're awesome. You make
Anthony,
the show.
That's the ultimate compliment, Anthony. Ultimate. The fact that you hated me that much makes me feel good.
That you did something right, that means, right? Mm-hmm. So my next point is, obviously, I'm happy they pulled this win out and whatnot, but they need to figure out the defensive end on it from their point guard position. Obviously, Derrick Rose has been great offensively, but you know, everyone knows, he can't hang with Trae Young on the defensive end. He just physically can't do it. And Trae Young's getting to whatever spot he wants to. And as a basketball player, especially as a scorer, if you're comfortable in getting to spots throughout the game, you're going to get into a rhythm early, and it's going to be a big, big night for you. And he's proved it for two nights in a row.
But Anthony, I thought they did a better job in the second. I mean, he only had 10 points in the second half.
They did do a better job, but he's also getting to wherever he wants. They got to start beating him up on the defensive end and start trying to tire him out a little bit. That's what you got to do in these games. You can't just let him get a free pass on the defensive end every possession. You have to try to put him in the pick and roll. You got to make him feel uncomfortable. They got to be more physical with him, bump him a couple times. Like, you got to do something to throw him off his rhythm. He's a shooter, right? You got your athletes. You know that once you get into rhythm, you're set. You got to try to do something to get him off his game.
Yeah, but Anthony, he only made four shots in the whole second half.
Yeah,
and he only went to the line
in the second half.
And he took two free throws in the second half. I thought Bullock did a good job on him.
He did a great job.
Listen, the guy's a great player. You saw the entire game, they're trying to force him to his left. And there were times that they just, as hard as they tried, he still found a way to get to his right. But
that's a great player.
But
you're not
that's
what set down.
What you did in the second half is about as good as you can possibly do on a guy like Trae Young.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
There's 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Starts. Starks was able to sky to the basket.
Well, the show is DCR, and our guest is going to be John Starks in just a moment. Now, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., the Penzi Food Hall, located right outside of Madison Square Garden on 7th Avenue, will offer COVID-19 vaccines for any individual ages 16 and older. No appointments even necessary. John Starks will be there from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., handing out playoff gift boxes, which we receive beautiful gift boxes from the Knicks and Chase to those receiving their vaccination. The boxes include a variety of Knicks playoff merchandise. The Knicks and Chase will continue to distribute these boxes across the city throughout the playoffs at other vaccine locations, to community centers, restaurants. In addition, fans who receive their vaccination will have the opportunity to enter a raffle to win Knicks tickets to a regular season game next year. So we love him. Let's bring him on. He, of course, is the great John Starks. He's the alumni relations director of the New York Knicks. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Listen, we appreciate a couple of moments. That was, you had to feel great about that last night, didn't you? The atmosphere, the environment, the way the Garden was just shaking and rocking kind of brought back some memories, I would imagine, huh?
Oh, brought back a lot of memories. It was just incredible last night. The energy in the Garden, obviously, is back now, having 15,000 fans in there. Felt like a full house, obviously, and I think it was just pent up emotion. You could just feel it. Everybody was into the game. I think it truly propelled the Knicks to their win.
John, let me ask you a question. I mean, you played in that building when it was crazy, huge moments. It seems like for the first two games, it may be negatively affecting Julius Randle a little bit. Like, he's too amped up. Can't seem to slow the game down. Is that something that can happen? Is that you get caught up in that and it's not easy to kind of relieve the pressure and the game starts moving too fast for you?
Well, it could happen, but I don't think that's the case. I think this has been his first playoff experience. It could, the energy from the building, it could negatively affect it, but I don't think that's the case. I think he just got to go out there and just relax and just understand that, hey, you got help. You know what I mean? Your teammates are playing very well. And you just go out there and do what you've been doing all year long and just be aggressive. And he showed that in the second half. And I think he, as this series continues to go along, the more and more he's going to get comfortable out there. And you're going to see Julius continue to do what he's been doing all year long.
John Starks, Knicks legend with us here, 98.7 ESPN. John, what would you do game three at the point guard spot? Do you roll back out with Elfrid Payton, or would you make the switch and start Derrick Rose?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. That's going to be Coach Tibbs' decision on that. He's going to do what's best for the team. I think Derrick can, start, or he can come off the bench, either way. But I think because you don't want to, burn him out, you may go back with Alfred. But Alfred just had to get into it. He just got to know that he's not going to play long minutes. He just got to go out there and just be aggressive, both on the defensive side of the ball and on the offensive side of the ball. Just go to the hoop, do what you've been doing all year long. Nothing should change when the playoffs come. Your level of play should go up, but, you still have to be consistently do what you've been doing all year long and just stick to that format.
Great. John Starks joins us on the show. John, you mentioned playoff basketball and intensity level and everything else, but for you, what did you notice? Like, what was the most noticeable difference between regular season basketball and then once you took the step into the postseason?
Oh, man, you feel like you can just play 48 minutes and just keep going. I mean, literally, your energy level just goes to another level because it's do or die situation. There's no coming back from this. And so, you have to stay focused. Everything's around you, just you shut everything off, and you just know you have to keep your mind focused on the game of basketball. Nothing else matters besides your family, your immediate family, but you shut the whole world off. Nowadays, obviously, a lot of social media, you shut all that off, and you just get focused in on and what you're supposed to do once you take the court.
Alumni relations director, the great Knicks legend John Starks with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I thought they did a great job in the second half on Trae Young. How do you replicate that from what you did in the second half into games three and games four, John?
He's tough. He's definitely a tough defend, as you know. He's very shifty. They had a lot of good looks in the second half. For whatever reason, they just didn't knock them down like they did in game number one. So you can't give them that down in Atlanta because those will fall down there. So you just have to know you have to close all the way out to them, and you have to make them a driver and a willing passer. But he's an all-star for a reason. That's what he do. He gets in the lane. He makes things happen for his teammates. I can't pronounce the name, Bogdanović.
Yeah, it's the laziest name. It's the laziest name in sports. Bogdanović, it's lazy.
Yes. He's another problem because he's a flat-out shooter and a flat-out scorer. So you have to contain him. And I think they did. The energy level picked up in the second half, obviously on the defensive end of the court. But like I said, me watching the game, they still had a lot of good looks at the basket. They just wasn't falling in the second half for them. So we can't give them that down in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's amazing how the energy level picks up and the defense picks up when shots start falling for you on the offensive side. John, last one for me. Would you, I mean, just Dave talking about how good Trae has been and trying to shut him down, would you go out of your way, you personally, if you're defending Trae, would you go out of your way to be as physical as humanly possible with him?
Yeah, but you have to. you have to get, it's tough to do in today's game, obviously, because of the rules, but you definitely have to, you know, keep a body on him, and you have to, you know, touch him as much as possible. You can't let him, you know, run around there free. And I thought they did a better job of that in the second half, to be honest with you. It's being a little bit more physical with him. He seems to, you know, it seems to knock him off his game. But, you know, he's the type of player that if you do get physical with him, he goes to something else. But I think that's one way of just, you know, getting him to think about you. And that was our rule. Whenever a guy can score like that, you just got to hit him as much as possible.
Well, John, listen, we appreciate a couple minutes. We love what's happening with the Knicks and at the Garden, and hopefully this is going to be a win for the Knicks in this best of seven, and we'll talk to you again real soon to preview maybe a Philadelphia series at some point in the future.
Hey, that would be great. We also just kind of mention we have I'll be at the Pinsky Fool Hall this morning at 10:30 to 11:30. We'll be giving free vaccinations to anybody that comes at that location. It's right outside the Garden. Also, we'll be handing out playoff gift boxes, you know, presented from Knicks and Chase to anyone receiving the vaccinations. And you can enroll into a raffle to win Knicks tickets for a regular season game next year. So we want everybody who hasn't had their vaccinations to come out and get their vaccinations this morning. Actually, it's going from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yep, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., the Penzi Food Hall right outside the Garden, and it's free for everyone. John, thanks for doing all you do for the Knicks and the community, and we appreciate a couple minutes.
All right, thanks, you guys.
Yep, that, of course, is the legend that is John Starks. I'll always remember what I asked him when he was in studio. Remember that time he was in studio with us,
yep.
Rick? And I said, how often do you get, how often does that dunk get mentioned to you? And he said, every single day.
Yeah, and he wasn't – I mean, he was – the second you asked it, he's like – his face lit up. He's like, every day.
Every single day. How great must that be, though?
No, I mean, that's the ultimate, man, is that you get – I mean, to have something that, like that you remembered for forever, like where every single day you have at least one person, like one Knicks fan walk up to you and say that to you, that's great.
No matter how bad your day is going, right? Like, you're just, oh, this is awful news, or this is not great, or, you know, something with the kids or the family or the wife or your pandemic or whatever, and you walk down the street and you're like, oh, man – Starks, dunk, great, thank you, love it, awesome. Like, it's got to, every day he's got to have that moment of, all right, now I'm in a better mood than I was.
I mean, that's what he left behind, right? I guess that's part of the legacy, yep, that he left behind. I mean, that's it, because that's what you have. I mean, once you're done, you know, it don't last forever. So what you have and what you did in your career, that's, those memories are what you have.
That one moment, oh God, was that special. All right, 800-919-3776, why don't we go kind of rapid fiery through the calls in the final 11 minutes of the show. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock this morning, KJZ takes over, and you know where they're going to pick up on the Knicks and just the atmosphere of the Garden, the intensity. You know, you watch it last night. Did you see LeBron tweeted about it, about the intensity and atmosphere at the Garden from last night?
Yeah, people are paying attention to it.
I mean, people are taking notice to what is happening right now.
The place is crazy. Did you see that? I mean, have you seen the video outside of the Garden?
Yes.
With the fans filing out?
Yeah. Did you see, I guess it was on MSG, the post game where Bill Pito was hosting and he said, look at what's happening. Like, people were up against the glass, like,
yep,
droves of people were.
The place is on fire.
Yeah.
The place is on fire right now.
And this is the first round. Could you imagine? I don't want to talk about it.
Let's
get to the calls.
Don't touch the money.
I said I don't want to talk about it. 800-919-3776. Tito in the corner.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're
good,
doing
Tito.
Great,
what's up,
Tito? Phenomenally.
Yeah, quick points. I actually met John Starks. I used to work for Cablevision. I got a signed picture of him. He's a great guy. I actually met him. They had a little meeting and everything. So, yeah, they asked him about the dunk too when I was there.
Everybody does. He's asked about it daily.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the most iconic dunks in basketball history, so that's awesome. Quick points, he's thrown a lot of them. From what I saw last night, looks like Julius got a little bit of his confidence back. He's dealing with a lot. They roll in the whole defense to him, so he's learning to adjust to it. And like Tibbs on one of the conference calls said, Julius needs to be a facilitator and make the right play. And even just one of those plays was when he drove and he hits Derrick Rose with the pass underneath, and Derrick Rose hits that three-pointer. That was one of them. Those are the type of plays Julius has to do to get the team going. Then he got himself going, and he got confidence. You can see it. Moving forward, you're going to see that. The defense revved up in the second half. I think they scored 40-something points to 20-something points to the Hawks. And they put Bullock on the
Trae Young.
And you know what? And that worked a lot. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. And you saw the defense shift and make him go to his left and his right. I'm going to stick with my prediction. I'm not changing it. I'm going Knicks in six. It's going to be hard. Hawks are good. But, guys, we're going to get the job done.
All right. I'm not as confident as you. I still think that I give the Knicks a good chance to win the series. Six is how are they going to win the series in six? You're telling me they're going to go down there and win two of three games? And then win that game at home. They're going to win three the next four.
And I would love it.
I
have a hard time believing it, but I would love it.
But come on, that's difficult to envision. Here's the way that you can realistically think this thing plays out. You split the next two. You win at home in five. You lose six, and you win seven. I think there's a real chance that happens.
Yeah, but again, I mean, it's a real chance. I mean, wasn't that your mindset when you picked the Knicks in seven?
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah,
but I thought they were going to win both games at home. And you know what? I feel disappointed. I think they should have won game one.
They had a perfect opportunity to win game one.
You're up perfect three opportunity with under a minute to go, and you didn't win the game.
Yeah, you didn't win. But again, I mean, it was one of those nights where Bullock was bad, Randall was bad.
It was terrible. Terrible.
So, I mean, it's understandable.
Yeah, but yet you didn't even play well, and you had a golden opportunity. I don't even think the Knicks have played great basketball yet in this series, to be honest with you.
They played really good defense down the stretch.
They played really well in the second half defensively, yes.
And they shot well. I mean, the third quarter. I mean, you made seven. They were 7 of 10 from three in the third quarter.
So good. Yep. Let's go to Bill in Westchester. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You're right. They should have won game one there. Hey, I'll tell you, last night, guys, in the fourth quarter there, it looked like RJ got a little overzealous, and the ball had to go to Randall. And it seemed like when they pulled RJ, that's when the Knicks made their run. So just wondering what you guys thought about that.
But here's the thing, though. RJ Barrett hasn't been great in the first couple games. I think we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
He's trying to be aggressive, though. He is trying to be aggressive. But, I mean, you see how Randall's struggling with the same thing. I mean, this is a new experience, man. He's a really young kid. It's his first time in the postseason. The place is packed. I'm sure he's putting a ton of pressure on himself, knowing that he needs to play at a certain level if this team has a chance to win this series. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot to deal with. I'm just hoping that, because this is just me personally, I always found playing on the road that there was less pressure and you kind of band together as a team. It's like us against the world, right? Like you're going into enemy territory, they'll be booing and everything else, and you come together as a group. But I always felt like there was less pressure. I always felt more pressure at home because you didn't want to let down your home crowd. So I'm just hoping that's the case with Randall and Barrett.
Would be great. Let's go to Jay in Brooklyn. Good morning, Jay. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. How y'all guys doing?
We're doing great. Couldn't be better, Jay. Could not be better.
Yes, sir. Listen, I was just telling a gentleman who answered the phone.
He's RJ. The great RJ Santillo is who you talk to. Yep.
Mr. RJ, thank you for what you do. I was just telling him that I just came from Boston. And, you know, just being up there, going to visit and taking care of some business. And I was just saying to myself, yo, Boston is striving. But with the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets doing what they're doing, and I have to say the Knicks is bringing more electricity than the Nets, and it's just because they are the father and the Nets are the sons. It's bringing it back because I was saying to myself, dang, man, I don't want my favorite city to lose that. Oh, you know, you walking around certain places of Boston and you're seeing people, you're seeing tourists and stuff like that. I'm walking around New York City and I ain't seeing nobody. But due to the fact of the New York Knicks, the Knickerbockers coming back, and shout out to Obi because I used to play with his pops, Snoop, a.k.a. The killer down in West 4. And it's just, New York is back, man. Let's get the gunshots going.
let's get the lively going. Let's get the construction going. Let's get the money going.
Yeah, that's right. Let's bring back the weaponry.
Word up. Word up, man. You know what time it is.
New York, we here.
Let's get the love going. Brooklyn. Spread the love. Spreading love is the Brooklyn way. Love y'all guys. Be blessed.
I will say, though, Dave, it does. I mean, it does feel like sports is bringing us back, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Well, because let's be fair. Sports was dead. Right? I can't even believe it. We spent months and months and months where we had nothing to talk about in sports. A new episode of a documentary would air. We'd be like, oh, God, content. We got something to discuss. Now, last night, you hear the Mets and Yankees are rained out. You're like, yes, good. Now there's not too much on. But you're right. It feels like it's kind of brought us back. And it does feel like we are on the verge of being back right now.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's kind of, I mean, it's starting to feel more and more normal. And you watch that game with 15,000 people and, I mean, just the scene outside, even the golf, and all these people following Phil Mickelson up the fairway. It seems things are starting to feel back a little bit.
I agree. Let's go to Rob and Ramsey. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing
great, Rob.
Phenomenally, Rob.
Robert,
phenomenally.
Do not wet blanket our mood right now, please.
What's the matter? What do you got, Rob?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to listen. Derrick Rose, 35, 40 minutes a game, scoring 25 to 30 a game is not sustainable. If Barrett does not turn it around, and your other all-star does not turn it around, Atlanta's going to win in 5 or 6. That's the bottom line. Because right now they are not playing like their all-stars. They're not playing like the most improved players. They have to turn it around, and game 3 will dictate that.
I think it's a fair point.
Three, it's over.
I think it's a fair point, but let's look at it from the flip side for a second, Rick, okay? R.J. Barrett has not been great. Julius Randle, I think it's fair to say, has been subpar, and you still could easily be up 2-0 in this best-of-seven series.
Yeah, you could, but I think to his point is something that concerns me, and I think it concerns you, is that at a certain point, if Derrick Rose is playing close to 40 minutes a night, When does that come back to bite us?
Listen, the truth is, if you don't get really good Julius Randle, you're not winning the series.
No, I mean, he's your best player. He has to show up and be your best player.
You're not winning the series. All right, Santi, we've done a lot today. There's been highs and lows and ebbs and flows, and now it's time for 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars of DCR. Number 3.
Apologies, Rick DiPietro. I'm going to play some sound. Islanders' big win. Here's Kyle Palmieri talking about fighting back from deficits.
We drew a lot of energy from our fans, and we had a game plan. We know what was going to make us successful against this team, and you know they're going to have pushes, and that's a really good team over there. So we just had to stay the course and find a way to get ourselves back into the game, and luckily enough, tonight we found a way to get the result and close out the series.
Big win, win the series, beat the Penguins, avoid the Game 7. Nobody should be happier than you, yet here we are.
Number two,
shout out to Knicks fans for, I mean, they still had the chant that I made a point that I wasn't a big fan of, but they did come up with something a little bit more creative in Game 2. Did you guys listen? I'm a big fan of Trey is balding. I think that's a great chant.
I didn't love it.
Really?
Hurtful.
No,
it's hurtful.
It's hurtful.
It was nasty.
Listen, the caller we just had said talking about New York is back. I don't necessarily about bring the weapons back and all that, but bringing back the hurtful chants, that's kind of what the Garden's all about, no?
Is that? Maybe.
All right.
Number one.
I don't know if you guys got to listen to Taj Gibson at the end of the game, and this part of a much longer answer. I encourage you to go listen to it on Nick's social media, but he just talks about the magical run being a native New Yorker.
It's some magical stuff right now. I don't know how to explain it. It's just every day that I come in, it's just, I don't take anything for granted. But every day that I come in, it's just surreal. And you got to pinch yourself because you're playing in the Garden. It's one of the toughest places to play, but it's one of the beautifulest places to play when you're on the right, when you're right. And we're trying to do some special things here, and right now we're laying on the groundwork for it, and it's an awesome feeling.
Like I said, go listen to the whole cut on Knicks social media, anywhere you can find it. It's good stuff, but rooting for the Knicks the rest of the way. Let's hope we can wrap this series up.
That's right. Game 3 tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here on 98.7 ESPN, and then 12:30 on Sunday for Game 4, both of those games down in Atlanta. KJZ, a lot of Knicks talk starting right now. For us, it's Rule a 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rotherberg, and...
everybody on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.